Good evening from headquarters, and welcome to the beginning of the Days of Unleavened Bread. I hope this annual observance will be a memorable experience for all of us. This annual tradition has a rich heritage in the Hebrew Bible. Tonight, we will review part of the story of the Exodus to remind us of its significance. This brief exposition will refresh our memories on the importance of two conjoining evenings in the spring that have deep meaning for Christians. The title of this is Redemption and Deliverance. Exodus 12 details the events that occurred over a couple of days. It is not an exact time sequence. Instead, it alternates between descriptions of main events. This chapter provides instructions for Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the beginning of Israel's exodus from Egypt. In verses 1 to 13, it speaks of the Passover. Verses 14 to 20, of the Days of Unleavened Bread. 21 to 28, of the Passover again. Verses 29 and 30, the 10th plague and death of the firstborn. Verses 31 to 42, the beginning of the Exodus, including the night to be much observed. And verses 43 to 51, it goes back again to the Passover. We will now review some scriptural passages, and I will read them for you in case you do not have your Bibles handy. The Bible clearly distinguishes Passover from the Days of Unleavened Bread. Leviticus 23:4-6. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their seasons. In the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread unto the Lord. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. Let me read a comment from Adam Clark's commentary on Exodus 12:15. Quote, this, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, has been considered as a distinct ordinance and not essentially connected with the Passover. The Passover was to be observed on the 14th day of the first month. The Feast of Unleavened Bread began on the 15th and lasted 7 days, the first and the last of which were holy convocations. End of quote. The Jewish Encyclopedia says, quote, comparison of the successive strata of the Pentateuchal laws bearing on the festival makes it plain that the institution as developed is really of composite character. Two festivals, originally distinct, have become merged. The Jews understood that. J.R. Dumelo's commentary says, the Passover, Pesach, and Feast of Unleavened Bread, Matzot, are really distinct. But as they were always celebrated in succession, the name Passover is sometimes used to cover both, giving Luke 22, verse 1, as an example, end of quote. And that verse says, now the Feast of Unleavened Bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. So in a similar way, sometimes we refer to the Feast of Tabernacles and the Last Great Day as the Feast. Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread are both feasts of the Lord. However, Passover is not a holy day. The Feast of Unleavened Bread has two holy days, the first and the seventh. I refer you to our March-April 2020 LCN article by Mr. Gerald Weston, Seven Proofs About When the First Passover Took Place and How to Keep It Today, and our March-April 2013 LCN article by the late Mr. John O'Gwynn, Understanding the Night to Be Much Observed. Here's the timing of the events. To be spared from the destroyer of the firstborn, the people had to obey and trust God and Moses, set aside a one-year unblemished lamb, kill the lamb, put blood on the doorpost and lintel, roast the whole lamb, eat the lamb without breaking any of its bones, eat unleavened bread and bitter herbs with it, and not leave their homes. And the leftover lamb must be burned up the next morning. The Israelites were to remain in their homes overnight as a destroyer delivered God's judgment on the Egyptian nation. Exodus 12:22 says, "And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that's in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that's in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning." The word morning comes from Hebrew boker, the time from first light until a time after full sunrise. Here's why that observance is called Passover, Exodus 12:13. "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." Exodus 12:27 says that you shall say, "It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses." And the people bowed the head and worshiped. On Passover day, they made preparations to leave Egypt. God instructed Moses to tell the people to bring together their flocks and herds, their kneading troughs, their unleavened bread, their clothes, and to go and spoil the Egyptians for their back wages, really. Not only the Israelites, but the mixed multitude. And when you consider 2 to 3 million people who left Egypt, that took a long time. So all of this would take considerable time during the daylight hours of the 14th of Abib, the daylight hours of Passover. God brought the Israelites out of Egypt by night. They spoiled the Egyptians and prepared to leave Egypt the next day. Numbers 33, verse 3 says, "And they departed from Ramses in the first month, on the 15th day of the first month, on the morrow," which means the next day after the Passover. "The children of Israel went out with a high hand in the sight of all the Egyptians." Clearly, Israel started their journey out of Egypt on the morrow after the Passover, but they left at night. Deuteronomy 16, verse 1 says, "Observe the month of Abib and keep the Passover unto the Lord your God. For in the month of Abib, the Lord your God brought you forth out of Egypt by night." So they could not have stayed in their homes and left Egypt the same night, obviously. So on Passover night, they were protected from the destroyer in their homes. Exodus 12:23, "For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you." The next night, beginning Abib 15, they began their march out of Egypt. Now the meaning of each of these two events. Passover reminds us of God's redemption of Israel from Egypt. A heavy price was paid for their freedom, the slaying of the firstborn of the Egyptians. Exodus 6:6-8 says, "Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from the under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which brings you out from under the burdens of Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land concerning the which I did swear, to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob. And I will give it to you for a heritage. I am the Lord." Exodus 12:11 says, "And thus you shall eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." This event serves as a beautiful illustration of the redemption Christ accomplished at Calvary. John 1:29 says this, "The next day, John the baptizer sees Jesus coming to him and says, Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." And then Paul, writing to his Corinthian brethren in his first letter, said, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." So the Passover lamb was to be without blemish. Exodus 12:5. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. This parallels Christ. 1 Peter 1:18-19. For as much as you know, as you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conduct, behavior received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Then the lamb had to be killed. Exodus 12:6. And you shall keep it up, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And in Acts 2, Peter, speaking to the Jewish audience, said, "You men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." Then the blood had to be applied. Exodus 12:7. And they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. Hebrews 9:28. Almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. Hebrews 9:13-14 says, "For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" The night to be much observed that begins the 7-day feast of unleavened bread represents the deliverance of Israel from Egyptian enslavement. For us, keeping the feast reminds us that God will completely deliver us from the bondage of sin if we respond to his grace. Exodus 3:7-8 says, "And the Lord God said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and bring them out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites." Exodus 12:40-42 say, "Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even a selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations." Now, Israel did not spend 430 years entirely in Egypt. Their sojourn was partly in Canaan and partly in Egypt. Verse 42 says, "It is a night to be much observed." So we observe it during the evening hours. Exodus 12:15 says, "7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eats leavened bread from the first day till the 7th day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel." Yeast is a symbol of corruption and evil. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthian brethren, said, "Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are in leaven. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." Unleavened bread also symbolized their haste in leaving Egypt on that night. Deuteronomy 16:3. "You shall eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread therewith, even the bread of affliction. For you came forth out of the land of Egypt in haste, that you may remember the day when you came forth out of the land of Egypt until the days all the days of your life. So this teaches us to leave behind the world of sin represented by Egypt. We need to do so hurriedly and completely. John 8, 34 to 36 says, "Verily, verily," as Jesus answered, "I say to you, whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abides not in the house forever, but the Son abides forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Just as the Israelites were freed from Pharaoh in Egypt, we now have freedom through Christ, not from the law, but from sin and the devil's control. Luke 4:18, Jesus' first sermon in his synagogue at Nazareth, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." Hebrews 2:14 through 15. "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." This is explained as well in Romans 6, 22 and 23. Paul wrote, "But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." We do not observe the night to be much observed the same way as did the Israelites. Our situation is much different today. Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong admonished us to observe this special occasion in memory of what our Israelite ancestors experienced. This occasion is a commemoration, even a celebration, of that momentous event so long ago. So let's remember its deep meaning. This is a long-established church tradition, and there are good traditions. The Apostle Paul wrote in his 2 Thessalonian letter, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or by our epistle." So we wish you a joyous night to be much observed and feast of unleavened bread.